There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
So, listen, usually when I tell you something, it comes true over time, maybe takes a month or a year. Rarely when I tell you on a show, hey, you got to be careful about this, does it hit the very next day? The very next day, proving you're not wasting your time here. What is this about? I told you cancel culture wokeism was cannibalistic and eventually turns on itself and implodes because you run out of victims and eventually you piss off 51% of the population. I'm going to sandwich the show with that story today. And in addition, there's three stories about our descent into totalitarian madness. One of them I just warned you about yesterday. Wednesday, which Thursday, right? And Mix Minus Gate continues. Fox drew up a nice thing for me to explain what Mix Minus is. Thank you, fellas, here. They even drew an ear diagram for those of you audio people. Mix Minus means Dan's mic minus what Dan's saying, so Dan doesn't hear what Dan's saying in Dan's ear. So thank you. We have the Goofy Glue incident and Mix Minus Gate, and Joe's been kind enough to be a Mix Minus Gate liaison as an audio professional with the Fox team. So thank you all.
If you're looking for a new rifle or shotgun, I wholeheartedly recommend Henry Repeating Arms. You can visit them at henryusa.com. They've got more than 200 models to choose from, plus new releases throughout the year. And trust me, folks, you cannot beat their quality and their craftsmanship. Henry's come in a wide variety of calibers, everything from 22s up to long-distance hunting rounds. And there's so many finishes to choose from. Blued steel, hardened brass and silver, antique color case, even an all-weather finish that can handle the toughest outdoor conditions. Some models have octagon barrels that are beautifully machined and polished. And they only use the best grades of genuine American walnut for their stocks. And I also like that they're made in America by a family-owned business that gives you a lifetime warranty. They have affordable models starting at $250, collectible editions that are splurge-worthy up to $3,000, and many options in between. And call them if you have questions. Their award-winning customer service team can help you find the Henry that's right for you. Start by ordering a copy of their free catalog at henryusa.com. They'll mail you the catalog with two free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals. henryusa.com.
And all right, Joe, let's go. There you go. Joe's all stated there. So yes, this is day four of the hijacking of Greg Gutfeld's studio here. We may not give it back. There is an armed guard at the door right now. Greg is in Nashville. We may not, right, Joe? We may not let him back in the studio. We may not. We are considering taking this permanently because it's such a great place. You know, that's why the sound's a little different. This is bigger than my studio at home where Joe has to do a lot of editing to get the echo out. So it's great in here, being in a big pro studio with lights everywhere. So here's additional evidence, a topic I discussed yesterday, that wokeism and cancel culture, by pure math, folks, it's not an opinion based in the hard fact that cancel culture and wokeism is destined by simple math to implode on itself. Let me just give you the bottom line up front. When leftists continue to attack the woke crowd and cancel people, you eventually start to run out of victims because, one, conservatives don't care. Conservatives can't be canceled because they don't care, a lot of them. I mean, you know, within reason. I mean, what are leftists going to do? They boycott your show? I don't care. I move to a subscriber account. We don't care. Like, you're not going to cancel us, right? But leftists are very sensitive with other leftists. So what leftists have done is they've moved on from just canceling conservatives. I'm not kidding, to canceling leftists too. Well, eventually what happens? Conservatives are about, 40, 45% of the population of the United States. Leftists and mid-range Democrats, you add in another 20, 30. Eventually 70% of the people are under attack by 30%. So what happens, folks? The 70% of the people eventually figure it out and they're like, why are we listening to these idiots? They're in the minority. Cancel culture and wokeism cannot possibly exist. Here is evidence right here today. Saw it this morning on the way in that what I'm telling you is factually accurate. Story in legal insurrection. So The Lancet, an allegedly scientific journal, which has had its credibility destroyed with the Wuhan virus and elsewhere, The Lancet was forced to apologize. You can read this story in my newsletter, by the way. After referring to women as, quote, bodies with vaginas in the latest edition. So, so here's the problem again. It's a math problem. It's obviously an ideological problem, but it's a math problem. The problem that happened here is the Lancet, because they're trying to be woke, they don't want to use the term women anymore because that, by the way, if this is too stupid for you, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to translate wokeism for you. The Lancet didn't want to use the term women because that's allegedly offensive to the transgender lobby because they think men can have vaginas too, which is obviously scientifically impossible, right? So what they did is they decided we're going to cater to the woke left lobby, the transgender lobby, by not calling women in our piece women. We're going to call them bodies with vaginas. Well, Joe, Gee, you're probably figuring out what happened, right? Well,
yeah.
Isn't that kind of like dehumanizing women? So women are nothing more than their reproductive parts. So then a bunch of women fought back. A bunch of women, again, when 51% figure out the 49% are idiots, there's going to be a revolution. Women were like, wait, don't dehumanize me. I'm not a body with a vagina. I'm a person. I'm a woman. So what happened? The Lancet was forced to apologize. And even in their apology, they had to be delicate to not offend either side. I told you the damn thing is going to implode on itself. And a day later, it's happening. And at the end of the show, I've got another story. Stay tuned to the end. An even better story of leftists eating each other alive again. Here, from the Legal Insurrection piece that describes this, the bodies with vaginas debacle. Quote, this is by Stacey Matthews. The Lancet strives for maximum inclusivity. This is their apology, the Lancet, for calling bodies with vaginas. The Lancet strives for maximum inclusivity of all people in its vision for advancing health. In this instance, we have conveyed the impression that we have dehumanized and marginalized women. Gee, you think? Those who read The Lancet regularly will understand that this would never have been our intention. I apologize to our readers who were offended by the cover quote and the use of those words in the review. At the same time, here, they got to throw this in, Joe. They got to throw this in. At the same time, I want to reemphasize that transgender health is an important dimension of modern healthcare, but one that remains neglected. They don't know what to do. When 51% of the people find out they're under attack by 49, and then they figure out they're the majority and the attackers are in the minority, this thing will implode on itself. Just give it time. Cancel woke culture is so stupid, it can't exist. It's not that it doesn't want to exist. It can't exist. It is for idiots. Only idiots do cancel culture. Friends don't let friends do cancel culture and wokeism. I got a story coming up at the end of the show about that too. Hey, by the way, one correction yesterday. I was on the 5. I'll be there back again today. I hope you watch it. The 5 at the Fox News Channel, 5 o'clock. You know, Joe, what drives me crazier than nothing drives me crazier than this. I have no problem correcting the record when we're wrong. What I really have a problem with is correcting the record for things we didn't even say. So I was on the 5 yesterday. I was making a point that behind the scenes, Obama used to say things that were more conservative than Obama would act in public. In other words, he was a phony. My gosh, I got like 15, 20 emails from people. Are you saying Obama's a conservative? Please go listen to the show. Thank you. I said clear as day, Obama governed to the left of Lenin. Did you watch it at all, Gee? Did you happen to see it? You didn't say, he's like, no, I don't watch you. I was going out to dinner. I don't care about your crap. Like, my job's over.
Yeah.
Neither did Joe. Joe's like, I don't care about you. I've known you for. I was making the point that, and I'll make it again. I'm telling you, behind the scenes, Obama would say stuff. And then in public, he would say the exact opposite. I was trying to make the point the guy was a phony, not that he's a conservative. Go back and listen, and I think you'll get what I was talking about. So just a quick
comment. I got high.
That's from his book. Very good. That's from his book. All right, moving on. So what's going on behind the scenes with this $3.5 trillion? We'll call it the wokerupsy bill. It is the woke bankruptcy bill, so it's wokerupsy. The wokerupsy bill, the drama going on behind the scenes is really starting to eat Nancy Pelosi alive. She snapped at a reporter yesterday. I'm going to give you just the quick rundown of the problem the Democrats find themselves in right now trying to pass this $3.5 trillion just monstrosity of a bill. It'll transform the entire U.S. economy into a hellhole. So here's Pelosi yesterday when a reporter asks her about the debt ceiling that the Democrats, not Republicans, have roped into this spending package. The Democrats have said to Republicans, the hike in the debt ceiling, you guys have to vote for this. And if you don't, we're going to say you shut down the government. She tied it into all this. I'll explain it in a second, but watch her snap at the reporter because she can't wrangle and herd cats in her own caucus. Check this out.
Why get mad at members? Why twist the arms of moderates if this is not going to move anywhere?
What are you talking about? We have a responsibility to uphold, to lift up the full faith and credit of the United States of America. That's what we have to do. These members have all voted for this last week.
Okay, a couple things here. What's going on and why is she snapping? She can't herd the cats in her own caucus. The Democrats have the slimmest of margins in the House and in the Senate. Everybody tracking? They have a 5-vote majority in the House of Representatives, which Pelosi's obviously the Speaker of. They have a no-vote majority in the Senate. It's 50-50, but Kamala Harris, the VP, is the tiebreaker. So she'd obviously vote for the Democrat agenda. But it is a 50-50 split. Here's the problem number one they're having. Go to this Washington Examiner piece, if you don't mind. There are three things up in the air right now, okay? We got to keep all these three things in mind so you have the skinny and we can explain it to you in a Reader's Digest format, right? Number one, there's the debt ceiling. If the debt ceiling isn't hiked, the government is effectively going to go de facto bankrupt soon. So they have to raise the debt ceiling to borrow more money, okay? That's number one. Number two, they have this $3.5 trillion wokerupsy bill that Joe Biden wants. Going to transform everything. It's going to be a disaster. Number three, they have the $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which bizarrely has some amount of bipartisan support. Okay, so those three things are out there right now. Those are the variables. Here's problem number one. The moderates in the Congress, they call themselves moderates, folks. We don't actually believe they're Democrat moderates. Can we just get that out of the way? Don't email me and say you called them moderate. They call themselves moderates. I don't. The allegedly moderate Democrats don't want the $3.5 trillion bill. They think it's too big in the House. They're afraid they're going to lose their seats if they vote for this because they're going to bankrupt the country. You tracking? She only has a 5-vote majority. So if 10 alleged moderates on the Democrat side say, we're not voting for the $3.5 trillion bill, it's dead. Well, what's the other problem? And I'll read this Washington Examiner quote in a minute. Sorry, I set Guy up and then left him hanging there. The liberals, the AOC types, they are demanding that the moderates vote for this $3.5 trillion bill. And they're saying, the liberals are saying to the alleged moderates, we're not voting for your $1 trillion infrastructure bill unless you vote for our $3.5 trillion wokerupsy bill. So from the Washington Examiner, here they sum it up nicely. David Drucker's piece will be in the newsletter today. Pelosi signaled Wednesday that the intra-party logjam could delay a planned Thursday vote on infrastructure. Pelosi, among the most effective legislative leaders of her generation, I debate that, has been stymied by the fact that she doesn't have a majority large enough to allow her to side with the liberals over the centrists or vice versa. With Republicans declining to bail Pelosi out, she needs every Democratic vote at her disposal. You tracking? So number one, the libs don't have enough votes on the full radical leftists to pass this $3.5 trillion wokerupsy bill on their own. Yet the centrist alleged moderates don't have enough votes to pass the infrastructure bill. So Pelosi's trying to herd them all together. And both of them are saying double-barreled family-friendly middle finger, we are not voting for this bill. The moderates are saying we're not voting for the $3.5 trillion bill. The libs are saying, well, we're not voting for the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. You can both pound sand, and Pelosi can't herd them. So in an effort, this is where variable three comes in. And Joe, Guy, you must stop me if it doesn't make sense, of course, as the ombudsman for the audience. Pelosi figures, given that there's some small amount, which I don't agree with, it shouldn't be, of bipartisan support for the infrastructure bill, right? We can maybe steal a few Republicans, and therefore I don't need the libs and I can get enough votes to pass it without it. So what she did is she tied in the debt ceiling to this bill. It has nothing to do with it, but she tied it in. And so they do it. They did it on the Senate side as well. And what they did is they told the Republicans, if you don't vote for this infrastructure and other stuff, we are going to tie in this debt ceiling hike. And if you don't vote for that, we're going to blame you for shutting the government down. You get it? You vote for this crap, or we're shutting the government down and we're going to blame you.
Right. Okay.
You got it? Well, what's the problem that? You guys picking up what the problem with that is? How are you going to blame the Republicans for shutting the government down if you have the votes by yourself to keep it open with not a single Republican?
Right.
She has a 5-vote majority and there's a tie-breaking vote in the Senate. She doesn't need the Republicans ever. Now, she has control. That's why she blew up at the reporter about the debt ceiling thing. And what did she say? Remember the cut? Just rewind it and play it again. She said, not you, Guy, the audience, they can rewind. He's getting ready to rewind. She says at the end, the guy asks her about why she's strong-arming people. And what does she bring up right away? The debt ceiling. You're going to bankrupt the government. She can open up the government right now. She doesn't need the Democrats. I mean, the Republicans at all. How long if they shut the government down before people figure out this simple math? Think about it. The government shut down, right? And nobody likes the government. And by the way, it's the government has to shut down because the Democrats are idiots. Shut it down. But that's their call. How long? A week? A month? Think about this, guys. A week? A month? 2 months? Before even the most ardent left-wing radical nuts start to say to themselves, hey, guys, this sounds kind of dumb blaming the Republicans. I mean, you could open this thing tomorrow and everybody knows it. Now, showing you how bad this predicament they find themselves in really is. Here's Robert Reich, like the most hard left leftist you've ever seen. Robert Reich. This guy is to the left of Stalin. This is, you ever see the Twitter account Defiant L's? It's one of the best accounts on Twitter. It just fantastic. I mean, spectacular work. Defiant L's. They go and find liberals who tweet stupid stuff and they compare their old stuff to their new stuff. So Defiant L's found Robert Reich a while ago talking about this conundrum, right? When Trump was in charge, they had the government, the Republicans, controlled. So Reich was like, well, if they shut down the government, it's on them. Here's the tweet. Throw that up on the screen, Guy. Robert Reich said a while ago, this is in 2018, which party will voters blame for the government shutdown? The last three federal government shutdowns occurred during divided government, but now Republicans run it all. How can one party not be able to keep the government open? If it shuts down, it will be in the heads of the GOP. So Reich is acknowledging when Trump's in charge in 2018 that when you control the whole government like the Democrats do right now, it's on you, right? The Republicans did. Everybody read that? It's not hard, right? Not hard to figure out. There are some leftists who listen to the show. So here's Robert Reich now that the Democrats control the government. A government shutdown means Americans won't get the services they depend on. Federal workers won't get their paychecks. People's livelihoods will be upended as the pandemic rages on. But none of this matters to the Republicans. They care only about power, never about people. Dude, he just said the exact opposite thing now that the Democrats are in charge. Thank you. Dude, that's at least a double. Come on. That's not a single Muttley. Thank you. Thank you. That is a minimum double Muttley right there. What an idiot. Now he's saying the exact opposite thing. The Democrats can keep the government open. They're roping it in to the infrastructure bill and the wokerupsy bill because they're trying to strong arm Republicans to vote for one of these things because the Democrats are fighting with each other over both bills and they could use a few Republicans. That's it in a nutshell. Now you've heard it all. All right, I want to get to just a little bit more of this in a second. This is the largest transfer of wealth, by the way, the wokerupsy bill, from the poor and the wealthy to the upper middle class in American history. Yes, that's right. The poor and the wealthy are going to pay the upper middle class. That's exactly what this bill does. I went through it on the Monday show in detail.
With cyber attacks on the rise, protecting your data security is more important than ever. So why is Congress considering a law that puts your data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill shifts billions in consumer spending to less secure payment networks, all so that corporate megastores can make bigger profits. Don't let Durbin-Marshall steal your data. Visit handsoffmyrewards.com/security and tell your senators to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
All right, one more quick point on the Porculus bill here, folks. This is the, again, the largest transfer of wealth from the poor and wealthy to the upper middle class ever, whether it's the child tax care credit, the child care credit. This will do nothing but explode our economy and destroy those services. Child care, pre-K, all of it. Everything the government touches, it destroys. I said yesterday during the show, liberals are liars and government is a cesspool. The arguments are over. Any dollar you give to the government outside of its constitutional spending role, you might as well flush it down the toilet. I'm done with the arguments about what the rich pay and the middle class pay and the poor pay. It's clearly not getting anywhere because liberals can't do math. The rich already pay the overwhelming majority of taxes. The top 1% pay 40% of the income tax load, despite only earning 20% of the income. I know math is hard for them, but that argument doesn't get anywhere because they're not interested in facts. So here's our new argument. I said it yesterday. I don't want to give you any more money because you suck, and I don't want you to destroy people's lives with it. The government is a hit storm with an S in front of it. Everything it touches, medicine, healthcare, education, pre-K, childcare, it destroys. Home healthcare, whatever the government touches, it burns to the ground. Why don't I want to give you any more money? I'd rather give it to charity where it does good. I give it to you, you're going to hurt people. That's why. And I don't like hurting people. So that's the argument from this point on. But here's a quick, just a piece of audio showing you how the media is in on this whole scam, trying to make America believe that the biggest spending package, tax package in American history is in fact going to cost you nothing. This is on a media show, hilariously called Reliable Sources with the coffee boy, Entenmann's kid, Brian Stelter. Check this out.
And why is the number misleading? Why is that 3.5 trillion figure misleading?
Because it doesn't really represent anything. It's this weird shorthand that's been used, but in fact, the bill itself will not cost $3.5 trillion in the sense that it will be entirely or at least partly paid for. So the actual cost in terms of deficits will be smaller than that, perhaps even zero.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. He's like, paid for by whom? Paid for by taxpayers. Again, folks, I'm not going to address this stupidity again about the bill costing $0. It's only the largest spending package in U.S. history. And I'm really sorry you're a moron if you believe it's not going to cost anything. It's the largest tax hike in American history. The poor are going to pay through lower wages as corporate taxes go up and higher prices. It's just that simple. And consumption is a higher portion of the poor's income than it is for the rich, right? If you're spending $80 a week on gasoline and you're poor, and this spending bill causes mass inflation and gasoline is $4 a gallon, I promise you, rich people don't give a damn about gas prices. I'm telling you, it's such a sliver of their income, they don't even bat an eyelash. But when you're making $25,000, $30,000 a year and filling up your gas tank costs $200, that's what's, just remember the show, folks, time check. It's Thursday, September 30th. That way, when gas prices go through the roof and inflation goes through the roof because we spent $3.5 trillion we didn't have and printed it, just remember you heard it here. Liberals will ignore it, of course, and pretend we didn't say it and blame Donald Trump. All right, moving on. This may be the most hilarious hit piece ever done in the history of politics. So just a little background. This was supposed to be a hit piece on the best governor in the country, Ron DeSantis from Florida, right? It's about, oh my gosh, Ron DeSantis, he's so mismanaged, coronavirus, so terrible. People are dying everywhere in Florida, which is really dumb. I'll show you the numbers in a minute. Again, facts, data. I know leftists, you don't do facts and data. I get all that. I understand. This is for the smart people, so you can tune out. But here is a political ad. Again, it was designed to be a hit piece for DeSantis. I would argue strongly that this is either one of two things. It's either a conservative group engaging in a black ops marketing campaign to try and help Florida, which is probably unlikely. Or number two, it is the dumbest, most ridiculous ad in political history where it actually helps the people you're supposed to attack. It's only one of those two things. Here, check this out.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of your cabin crew, we'd like to inform you that we have officially entered Florida airspace. Please watch this short message from Governor Ron DeSantis on COVID-19.
We are not doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. We trust people to make their own decisions in this state. We are not going to be bludgeoning people with restrictions and mandates and lockdowns or any of that stuff.
As Governor DeSantis stated, while you're within state lines, you do not have to wear a mask. You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools to mandate masks or vaccines.
That's supposed to be a hit ad, folks. That's designed to be a hit piece. I sent it over to Guy and Jim from the radio show this morning, and Joe and I watched it. They were like, is this an advertisement for Florida? So let me just be sure. You go to Florida and you can do what you want. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you want to get a vaccine, you can get a vaccine. And you're basically free to live how you want to live. In Florida. Just to be clear, like that's... It's hilarious. It's so like the stupidity of that. That's an actual anti-Florida ad. So, you know, of course, on this show, we do this crazy thing called facts and data. So I went to Statista, where I've gone often, to show you the death rates from coronavirus. Now, again, I do facts, even when those facts are not, you know, I don't do spinning and storytelling here. Here's Statista. This is the death rates per 100,000 in the United States as of September 27th, measured by state. So Florida was 24th a while ago, or 26th, then 24, then 20. Florida now is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So they're 10th. Sorry, I should have counted that before. They're 10th in the country. So, you know, we have 50 states. Obama thought we had 51. But we have 50 states, so they're in the top fifth, but they're at the bottom of literally the bottom of the top fifth, right? You have a bunch of states in front of them, New Jersey, Mississippi, Louisiana, New York, Alabama, Massachusetts. Why single out Florida? Florida is clearly not unique. Matter of fact, it's not even close to unique. It's the 10th least unique, right, in the death rate? Here's what makes that ad even dumber. Florida... The seasonality of the virus is reversed in Florida. Folks, Florida goes through its peak every single year with coronavirus, the 2 years we've been dealing with it, in the summer. The Northeast and the upper Midwest and the Midwest up in the north, they go through it in the winter. I know there are libs listening, so this is hard to process. But people indoors where the ventilation isn't as good as it is outside tend to transmit a respiratory virus, meaning breathing for leftists, tend to transmit it more indoors because the ventilation isn't as good as the fresh air outside. When are people indoors in Florida? Again, I know this is hard for the idiots who did that commercial to understand. People are indoors in Florida in the summer because it's hot. Very hot. Guy, can you vouch for me? Guy lives in, is it hot? Thank you. Guy's been a new resident to Florida. He's figuring out how hot it is. So people go inside. Guy, what happens around September and October when it's not 95, but it's 87.5 in Florida? People go outside. Therefore, what happens every year in Florida? Corona cases go down. What happens in the Northeast? When are people indoors? In the winter, when it's super cold, where it's not in Florida. They, sadly, tragically, I don't wish ill on anyone. Obviously, New York, New Jersey, and elsewhere are about to see another spike of coronavirus like Florida just saw. And we're already seeing it right now in New York. They had to cancel that play Aladdin. It was open one night before they had a bunch of infections. I'm sorry to inform you of basic science, but as you start to go indoors more in New York and New Jersey, I got family up there, everything, you're going to see more corona infections. I don't know why this is hard. The point I'm trying to make is, even despite Florida already having weathered the worst of it, we are still only 10. Now, right, in Florida, it's right. You know, Florida has the oldest population in the United States. And we're still only 10, despite having already weathered the storm. You guys up north, sadly, are about to start bumping yourselves into the top 10 as these deaths tragically go up. Just shows you again how stupid these people are, how they never, ever think this stuff through, ever. All right, I got a video coming up for you. This is a little lighter video, but let me just show you what I got coming up. I got this video you're going to want to watch. This is one of those holy moments. It's from the congressional baseball game last night. Like, I saw this. I'm like, is that real? I thought it was a joke. I've never seen anything like this. Psaki caught lying again. And the three important stories I told you about in the beginning of the show about our descent into tyrannical totalitarian madness. So funny. I'm getting used to the sounder, that the stinger Joe on the radio after, you know, the stinger Joe did the radio.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it. I'm like, there's like a pause afterwards that it's starting to like work its way into my psyche for the for the podcast too. This guy's been in radio forever. Whenever if you listen to my radio show, we have live read spots. There's always this sound effect that comes afterwards. So I got to pause so all the stations can cue in. So this is one of those holy moments. The congressional baseball game last night, you know, members of Congress, they play at the National Stadium and they play baseball. I mean, it's not hard. It's a congressional baseball game. So I'm watching this last night. I see this going viral on social media. And I swear to you, I'm like, this can't be from the congressional baseball game. I thought it was a major league game. This is Greg Stube. He's a congressman from Florida. I met this guy. He's a Republican. Good guy. Big dude, too. Super athletic. This is his at-bat yesterday at the congressional baseball game. I can't believe this happened. Check this out.
Democrats were trying to get caught up. Wow, this is a long
ball. Greg Stube with the first pitch and the first swing. It's going to be a home run. Stube out of the ballpark into the left field bleachers. Stube with the very first offering from Pete Aguilar swings and sends it to left field and out. While everybody's milling with the president, they played baseball, and Stube wants to bring the attention back to the field.
Absolutely. I believe that is the first out-of-the-park home run in this game in more than 40 years.
And we get Bustin' Loose played, of course, which they do at Nationals Park here for home runs as the Republicans out of the dugout to mob Stube. Aguilar just kind of smiling, walking around behind the mound, saying,
wow.
I can't believe I just did that.
What?
To the opposing pitcher.
Listen, I know this is a little bit of a lighter moment. This is kind of a serious show, even though we embed sarcasm in it. But how hilarious is this? Biden shows up, the Pino, president name only. He gets on the Democrat side during the, what is it, like second inning of the game or whatever. He's getting booed by a lot of people. Of course, the liberals in Washington, some of them are cheering him. But he's got all the attention in the dugout. The Republican comes up. There's never been a home run, a legit, not an inside the park home run, over the fence home run ever in the history of the congressional baseball game. I mean, you have any idea how hard it is to hit an outside of the fences home run? I played baseball for a long time. Major League Baseball parks are huge. Stube comes up while Biden the dunce is at the dugout and steals the guy's thunder by hitting the first home run in 40 years. Maybe this is a harbinger of good things to come in 2022. I don't know. But I watched that like, is this guy a major leaguer? Who the hell hits a home run in Congress? That's crazy. He pitched five innings too, Stube. This guy's like a super athlete. The Republicans won the game, if you're curious.
Nice swing too.
Right? That's why I was like, good point, Joe. I was like, that's a major league game. Like, is this a joke? And I had to like go down and read the comments. It really was Greg Stube. So Greg Stube, nice job. Met the guy before. Is super nice. Apparently very talented athlete too. All right. One quick point about Psaki before I get to this. Three important stories I need to highlight showing you our descent into tyranny is rapidly increasing. There's a piece of audio from Tucker's show last night that should really scare the snot out of you. But Psaki's lying about support for this bill that we discussed before, the $3.5 trillion wokerupsy bill. They're lying because Americans hate this thing. So-called moderates in Congress hate this thing. Everybody hates this thing. So here's an article by CNS. If you doubt me, just look it up yourself. Psaki's telling people that 80% of people support this Biden spending agenda. Folks, it's not even close. Just 36% of people support this crap. They're just making it up. So Dana Perino brought up on the Five yesterday, and it was a good point. This ends poorly for the Democrats either way. This wokerupsy bill, if it passes, is going to cost Democrats just about every single swing seat in the country and is going to bankrupt the United States as inflation goes through the roof. The Democrats have no one else to blame. They're fully in control of government. Or option two, it flames out and Joe Biden's entire agenda goes down in smoke in 1 week. He'll never recover. The political damage will be incalculable. Either way, this ends poorly for either America and Joe Biden or Joe Biden in option two. No way around it. All right. So as I was putting the show together this morning, you know, I like to warn you about things. I do because it matters. I want to use my platform for good. And I feel like if I can't warn you in advance about impending tyranny and totalitarianism, that it's useless. I mean, I love talking to you all, but you can talk to anyone. You've got friends. Why do you need to talk to me? The job of this show is where you can end it at the end of every day and be like, damn, I learned something. Like, he's right about that. And yesterday I discussed the incredible dangers posed by the idea of a digital currency in the United States. In other words, no more cash. You want to spend money? You're going to have some government spending card, an app on your phone. They will be able to track everything. No cash. No cash allowed. I warned you. I explained why that was a huge danger. That's one of the stories in this block. But here are three stories today about our descent into total madness. Cue up for me this video first of Glenn Greenwald last night about the vaccine mandates. Glenn Greenwald is an excellent journalist, has a Rumble account. His videos there are incredible. Greenwald went on Tucker's show last night and was saying, listen, this vaccine mandate, this can't possibly be about science. It has to be about something else. Check this out.
It's hard for me even to endure listening to liberal discourse about COVID anymore. Usually when someone has a view that's different than mine, I can isolate the rationale that they're using to come to that conclusion, even though I don't agree with it. And I'm at a complete loss to understand what the argument even is. On September 9th, when President Biden went to the White House and gave a speech on COVID to announce his COVID mandate for large employers, he said, this is not me, he said, Joe Biden said, if you're fully vaccinated, the chances that you can get severely ill, not even die, just get severely ill, are very low. And the statistic that he gave is out of every 160,000 people who have been vaccinated, only one ends up going to the hospital with a serious illness. So the risk, if you're vaccinated, is almost zero, which means what danger do unvaccinated people pose to people like me who listen to that and went and got the vaccine? I can't comprehend the argument. And yet when Joe Biden imposed the vaccine mandate, he said, because he had to justify why he could do it legally, the bottom line is we need to protect vaccinated workers from the dangers posed by unvaccinated people. What dangers do unvaccinated people pose to those who are vaccinated? None. It is purely punitive. It's a way of saying, if you don't obey us, if you don't defer to our superior wisdom, we are going to inflict pain and suffering on you and take vengeance on you for your defiance. That is all that this is about.
Okay, Armacost, pop quiz. So you and I have been working together for what, I'm going to say 8 years. I don't even know how long we've been doing this thing, but it's been
something like that.
Yeah, whatever. We're losing track after the third year. It doesn't even matter. What have we been saying from the start? What is it about with Democrats? Always control, man.
Control.
Always, always. It is
always.
Folks, I'm not joking. Like, we've legit been saying that for 7 years we've been on the air. The Democrat, this is what, if I explain this poorly, I'm going to be pissed at myself. Whatever the Democrats tell you something is about something, it's never about that something, and it's always about control. So the vaccine mandate, the Democrats tell you it's about what? The vaccine, right? It's about a vaccine mandate. We got a public health vaccine. It's never about that. Glenn Greenwald, in a minute and 30 seconds, just beautifully explained it. It has nothing to do with the vaccine. If the vaccine works, then who are you protecting yourself against? What I don't understand. Why would you mandate people to do it if it works so well? Who are you protecting them against? So he's like, I'm having trouble trying to define like how this is about public health. And by the way, I'm going to be please don't miss my Fox show Unfiltered Saturday at 10. I'm going to be covering this topic, and it's going to be in studio. Show's going to be electric this week, Saturday at 10. You know, I love you. You've been giving us killer wins in the ratings, so thank you very much. But I'm going to be discussing this exact topic, how this has nothing to do with the vaccine. This is about one thing, controlling you. And what the government is doing right now, liberals and rhino Republicans who are too afraid to stop it, is they're taking the boil frog approach. They're softening you up with body blows to freedom every single day. They're trying to get you accustomed to totalitarianism, and no one wants to do it in one fell swoop. It's disturbing to have a bunch of jackbooted thugs show up at your door, right? Overnight, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I didn't ask for this. But when you do it slowly, like they're doing in Australia, and you get the useful idiots to play along, it's the boil frog approach. All of a sudden, you find yourself boiling to death, but they turned up the temperature slow. That's what the vaccine mandate is. Remember, I said I had three stories here. It is a descent into total control and totalitarianism. Folks, please explain to me. I know the left, there's a conspiracy theory. If you can explain to me how this is about science and not about control, I'm open to hearing it. Unfortunately, you can't, as Glenn Greenwald just eloquently explained. They only want to control you, and they're slowly turning up the temperature so you don't sense you're boiling to death. Here's story number two in our descent into control and madness. What did I tell you the other day about negative interest rates and a digital currency? I mean, rarely does a story come together legit the next day after I bring it up. I warned you. I said, folks, if you see a digital currency in the United States being talked about, you better damn well run for the hills, because it's about three big things. Digital currency, meaning no cash. The government can see digitally every single dollar you spend and earn, right? It's about surveillance, a digital currency watching everything you do. It's about control, making sure you don't buy guns, you don't buy cigarettes, you don't spend money on sugar. They want to control you. And number three, it's about negative interest rates. The government wants to borrow money endlessly, liberals, and spend money they don't have. And the best way to devalue the debt they accumulate is to make interest rates negative. If you make interest rates negative, you devalue your own debt. Well, how does a digital currency play in? Again, not to repeat yesterday's show, but people don't like negative interest rates. You're going to put your money in a bank if it loses value every day? So what do people do? They take the cash out of the bank and put it in a safe. But what if there was no cash to take out and it was only digital and the government every day took more and more? It'd be the quietest, most pernicious, but effective form of taxation ever. You pick up your digital currency app on your phone and every day you have less and less and less because of negative interest rates. That's why they want to get rid of cash. They want to see everything. Now, I told you, communists and everyone who is associated with socialism and tyranny, they adore and love negative interest rates and a digital currency to do it. Sure enough, I wake up this morning, I'm reading the Wall Street Journal op-ed section, and here we go, folks. Ding, 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 ding. Comptroller of the economy. Biden's nominee to be the comptroller wants to regulate banks, but really hates banks. That's the title of the article. Her name is Saule Amirova. Forgive me if I'm saying her name wrong. It's not intentional. Saule Amirova. And she's a Cornell University law professor. She is Biden's nominee to be the current said the comptroller, meaning she'll want to be one of the lead financial regulators in the United States. Get a load of this one, Joe. So she went to Cornell. She was a school professor over there. And it says her radical ideas might make even Bernie Sanders blush. She graduated from Moscow State University in 1989 on a Lenin, this is not a joke, on a Lenin personal academic scholarship. And 30 years later, she still believes the Soviet economic system was superior and that U.S. banking should be remade in the Gosbank's image. Wait, right? This is not the Babylon Bee. This is the Wall Street Journal. I'm not kidding. Here, it gets worse. I told you about this yesterday. Rings true today. You're not wasting your time here. Here's the second part from the journal piece. Saule Amirova of Moscow State University, who loves the Soviet Union, she'd also like the U.S. to create a central bank digital currency. A day later, as Venezuela and China are doing. Of course, we want to be more like the communists in Venezuela and China. She says, quote, to redesign our financial system and turn the Fed's balance sheet into a true people's ledger, she tweeted this summer. The Wall Street Journal adds, what could possibly go wrong? Folks, Soviet Sale, good line, Guy. We'll call her that from now on. Listen to me.
Whoa.
I did not obviously coordinate this piece with the Wall Street Journal. I had no idea they were going to write this. I swear it's not a pat on the back moment either. I want you to take this very seriously. Communists need a digital currency is one of the worst things that can happen to our country. Up there with election reform, our border, and street crime. It is easily one of the top five issues. The United States is finished if communists like Soviet Sale get their digital currency. Your gun rights will go out the window. You won't be able to buy a gun. You'll have to barter it, trade goats for guns or something. You won't be able to buy cigarettes, alcohol. They'll watch everything you do. Tax rates will go through the roof. What's that? Media. Yeah, good point. You're not going to be able to subscribe to like Blaze TV or Fox Nation. Media they don't like. Don't laugh. Why do you think communists like Soviet Sale want this so bad? Negative interest rates. They can borrow money and then just take it out of your digital account every day through negative interest rates, controlling you, surveilling you, watching you every day, reporting to your employer. This is real, folks. It's not a joke. All right, here's the third story. So we had number one, the vaccine mandate. It's all about punishment and control. Number two, Soviet Sale wants a digital currency control. Number three, they are also pushing right now, the Biden administration and Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, they're also pushing, in case some slivers of cash, by the way, folks, still make it into the banking system with their digital currency, they want to obligate banks to report every transaction of $600 or more to the IRS just to make sure. If, Joe, there's just a few pieces of cash laying around, that's reported too. So Cynthia Lummis, senator from Wyoming, who did a great job yesterday, had Janet Yellen up on Capitol Hill. This is only about 8 seconds of it, but she tore into her and she's like, listen, this is crap. You telling the banks that they report everything to the IRS? Wisconsin banks don't work for you clowns. Check this out. Here's about 8 seconds of that.
Bank customers are not subjects of the federal government. Banks do not work for the IRS.
Good for you, Senator Lummis. Good for you fighting back. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't owe the government anything. We have a tax rate where you're legally obligated to provide taxes to the government at a certain amount. Legally, not morally. That's the, you know, that's unfortunately, those are the crap rules. When you pay that, you owe them nothing else. You don't owe them an eyeball into your financial life. You don't owe them an eyeball to, you know, if you smoke or not smoke or buy guns or don't buy guns. Or as Guy said, subscribe to the Wall Street Journal or, you know, InfoWars or Blaze TV. You don't owe them any of that. You can listen to any media you want. You don't owe them surveillance into your private financial life. You owe them squat. These people work for us, these lunatics. We're descending into madness right in front of your eyes. All right. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. So we got to give me a camera turner. All right. How are we on time, Guy? Because I'm in a, this is a different clock here. Okay. I got to get to this last story. I told you I'd sandwich the wokeism is cannibalistic and it'll eat itself alive. So we'll get to one more and then we'll bounce to that. Just quickly on this Fox News story here, but it'll be in my newsletter as well, bongino.com/newsletter. Again, proving to you that the left has no intentions of any kind of national unification. Anything that's a tie that binds between citizens of the United States, they want destroyed. The left needs balkanization and division. Why? It's been a repeated topic on my show because the left never runs on their real agenda. The left doesn't. Have you ever seen a campaign slogan outside of like San Francisco or some, you know, far left radical place? Have you ever seen a campaign sign in a swing district that said, give me your guns, I want to raise your taxes and steal your health care? No, of course you haven't. But that is the left's agenda. It's always been the left's agenda because they know that agenda is universally unpopular. How does the left continue to win elections? Because they scare you about the other guy. They say, hey, well, the other guy, the Republican, is coming after you, blacks, Hispanics, women, whatever. They hate you. Therefore, we're going to protect you. That's the only way they get elected. So they need division to do that. They have to keep us balkanized and hating each other because it doesn't do much good as a leftist running for office to say, I'm going to protect you against those evil Republicans if you don't have a constituency large enough to vote for you that believes Republicans are, in fact, evil. And if you can paint the Republicans as the evil white man or whatever it may be, it's even that much easier for you to balkanize the country. Perfect example in this Fox story. A New York Times writer writes one of the dumbest op-eds in human history. They want to redesign the American flag now and add like all separate kinds of BLM colors and everything like that. Folks, that, you know, on a very serious note, that flag, it's not a piece of cloth. It's not a tablecloth. It's not a napkin. It's not a slogan. It represents all of us. People have died for what the flag represents, not the cloth, not the fabric in it. It represents something. It represents the world's most prosperous, free constitutional republic. People have died horrible, brutal deaths for what that flag represents. That flag means a lot to a lot of people. It's the tie that binds. You understand why that flag has become a source for the Democrats of unnecessary division? Simply because it's a tie that binds us together. That's why they want the black national anthem. We only have one national anthem at football games and elsewhere. They need balkanization and division. It's the only way for them to ensure that they can get votes by claiming to the sides they've balkanized and divided that they're both fighting against each other. And we're going to protect you. Okay. Can you jump ahead to that last story in the New York Post? I said in the beginning, we were going to sandwich the show with stories about how woke cancel culture is inherently cannibalistic and will eat itself alive. There's no other way. This is the perfect story. I've been teasing this for a couple days now. This is what I mean by this. So in New York, there was this incident. It was this guy, Frederick, I think it was New York. Yeah, it was New York. This guy, Frederick Joseph, who is supposedly a woke leftist, he's out, I don't know, walking his dog in a dog park or whatever. And he runs into this woman. Her name is Emma Sarley. Well, some kind of altercation breaks out, verbal. And of course, Frederick Joseph decides, well, I'm going to get my phone now and record this and have this woman cancel. Now, Frederick Joseph is black and Emma Sarley is white. Their politics, I don't know. I'm assuming, given that it's New York City, they're probably both leftists. I don't know that for sure. But given the probability of the political inclinations and leanings of the area, they could both be leftists. Frederick Joseph, we know, is a leftist, okay? So they have a verbal altercation, and it's alleged, it's not in the video, I'll play it in a minute, but it's alleged that this white woman, Emma Sarley, said to Frederick Joseph, go back to the hood or your hood. Well, of course, what happens from there? Well, this is from the New York Post. This is where they have a real issue with this. The woman gets fired from her job, as Frederick Joseph puts this on Twitter and pushes the company to can this woman, and the woman gets canned. Well, what happens next? So here's the New York Post version of events here, showing you how this will implode on itself, cannibalism here, the leftist cannibalism. He says, David Marcus, who wrote this piece, it's not just that Frederick Joseph has done this before, apparently he has, and that he has a book he's hawking. Oh, he's selling a book. Interesting. The whole exchange looks like a Netflix version. I'll play it for you in a second. Of an organic interaction. It does. It's super weird. Plus, Joseph has said in the days following the incident, he was traumatized by it. Joe, do you ever notice how the left is traumatized by the most like mundane thing? Oh, I'm traumatized. My gosh, will you guys toughen up, you wusses? He says, there's nothing in the video that looks even remotely or vaguely traumatizing to any sane person without an agenda. But there's more. Almost immediately, identity politics, conflicts of interest appeared. Anderson himself, this is the boss who fired the woman after this exchange. This guy, Derek Anderson, himself has a history of dicey tweets, including using a slur against people with Down syndrome. Do we really trust he wasn't lying about what Sarley said? So just to be clear, black liberal guy has altercation with white woman while walking dogs. Black man says white woman told him, go back to the hood. That's not on the tape. It could be, could not. It's not on the tape. We have no evidence it happened, right? Not on the tape. Woman then gets fired from her job by a boss, Derek Anderson, because the guy who had the altercation with her, it does engages in a cancel campaign. Then the boss who fired her turns out has his own troubled tweets in the past. See the point I made in the beginning of the show? Eventually, 51% of people get canceled and figuring out they're catering to 49. And they go, why are we catering to the minority? You want to see the video? Here's a video. And you tell me if this woman, if this deserves the attention this thing got, the woman being fired and now a bunch of people's lives being upended. This looks to me like Joe, you were a city guy for a while. Gee, you've been around the world a little bit. Does this look like an altercation you'd have in a city? It happens all the time, every day. Check this out.
Stay in our hood? No.
I'm gonna invite everyone.
Stay in our hood. That's it. I'm sorry, what? Stay in our hood? Stay in our hood.
Leave the dog park to stay in our hood?
You just told us to leave the dog park and stay in our hood.
Oh my god, did you just say that to me?
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. The Karen is in the white.
There's, I'm sorry. You were right here. Watch this entire thing. Did she just not stand here and tell us to stay in our hood?
She did.
You just told us.
So the lady's alleging he said, stay in your hood. The guy's asking the other guy if stay in the hood was this guy or that guy saying it. Holy Moses, will you all grow up? Will you please act like freaking adults? Are you kidding me? Are you really? Is this an international incident where the woman should be fired? Making the point, we'll close the show again. Cannibalistic woke culture is destined to implode because the math doesn't work. I guarantee you, everyone in this probably has politics that don't align with yours, and they're all canceling each other. It's just, I feel bad for the woman. I really do. Like, you can't even have an argument over a dog right now and say something without having your entire life becoming the focus of a Twitter storm. It's just ridiculous. People piling on her. She's probably getting threats. My gosh. I promise you, this is, we are now at the jump the shark moment for cancel culture. We're there. Mark my words, it is going to flame out. It has to. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Please subscribe to my Rumble account, rumble.com/Bongino. Watch the video version of the podcast. We put a lot of work into it. Oh, and submit questions for Ask Dan tomorrow. Here's how you do it. We do an Ask Dan segment. Go to the Rumble account, rumble.com/Bongino. Under any video, just comment and just put question for Guy, question for the show, whatever. And we'll read some of them tomorrow. Last week's questions were great. We got great feedback on it. And don't miss my show Saturday night at 10, Unfiltered, in studio. Should be It should be a lot of fire. I'll see you all tomorrow.
You just heard Dan Bongino.